Talk. Food.
Well, we're delighted to welcome a new chef to our studios today. He's Chef Norman Heath from the Radisson Blu Hotel in the Waterfront, going to chat to us about his own career story and his own food philosophy, but also, very importantly, talking to us about squeezing the last drops out of winter with some great ideas for nice, warm, cozy dishes, the kind that you like to eat while wearing your fluffy slippers, sitting next to a fire and listening to the rain pour down outside. I'm hoping those words turn into reality. I believe there is a little bit of rain in the forecast for this week. Let's keep fingers crossed. In the meantime, our warmest midwinter welcome to Chef Norman. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Vipa. Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure. I just want to remind our listeners that if you've got a question for the chef or if you have something you'd like to say about your favorite winter dishes, you can call me on 021-446-0567 or send an SMS to 31567. Norman, where does your food story begin? Was there a particular member of the family that you loved to cook with or that you grew up watching work with food that got you inspired?
Oh, Pippa, to tell you the truth, I went to London to play a bit of rugby. And I fell into the kitchen there by accident with one of the chefs, didn't pitch for work. And then from there on, the story just got better and better, where I just love food now. And it's really something I enjoy doing, and it's just not a job at the moment, but it's a way of life.
I think it is for any real chef. It's much, much more than a job. It demands so much of you. I know you're from Durban originally, though. What is it that brought you to cook in the Cape specifically? Because I think you literally followed food trends to Cape Town, didn't you?
Yes, yeah. Born and bred Durbanite. Had the opportunity in 2004 to move to Cape Town, and then just couldn't let that opportunity go. I fell in love with the city, the food trends, and just what's happening in Cape Town is lovely.
Okay. And in the years that you've been here, I mean, obviously it's a city that's got a wealth of restaurants. Food trends come and go, new places open and close virtually every week. But what are the sort of the food elements to the city that have endured for you that make you want to stay here and stay cooking here?
Oh, guys like the Test Kitchen, that's setting the trend out there, that is just pushing us as hotel chefs to the limit and trying for us to keep up with them. So that's something I love doing, is keeping up with the big boys up there and just following their trends and what's putting them apart from the rest. And with the Michelin chef of South Africa now that we've got, so all those guys that are really pushing us to our limits.
Fantastic how they can inspire others to follow in their footsteps. Now, of course, you're spoiled for choice here, sitting in the Cape with access to wonderful wines, with access to wonderful fresh produce, with a growing number of farmers markets where we can shop for all of that. What do you love most about cooking here? Where do you source your favorite ingredients from, for example?
Oh, for me, it's the local ingredients and like a place in the Boerkop called Atlas where we get our spices from. They really somebody that you can go in there and talk to, and if you are not comfortable like making your own curries or making your own spices, you can go there and Atlas will gladly mix that for you, and you can chat to them about that. And that's somebody that really can help you with a good curry and a good mix or a good spice mix.
Well, which leads me very neatly into the recipes you brought along with you today, because I want to say to our listeners, we're delighted that Chef Norman has shared a couple of his winter warmer recipes, which we're going to post to the website and to the Facebook page. But I want to start with your butter chicken curry, because when I was reading this recipe, it sounds so easy and so simple, but we all know a curry is a complex thing to build in terms of flavor. But the very first thing on your list of ingredients is a good butter chicken paste. Now, is that the sort of thing that you would go to Atlas and say, I want to make a butter chicken curry, mix me up the base?
Yes, definitely, Pippa. And I think just in this day and age where everyone's so busy, the mothers want to get home, cook, put a meal on the table. I think the best thing to do is go to a good supplier that does spices, or just go to your local supermarket and buy all the butter paste or the butter spice. And at the back of the box, they've also got the recipe there for easy convenience. So
your version is using that paste as the base, and then very simply adding some onions, some tomato, crushed tomatoes, chicken, and then the real creaminess of the curry comes from double thick plain yogurt and cream. Now that yogurt, of course, double thick plain yogurt is the easiest thing to buy in Cape Town now, thanks to all the banters. A lot of people will ask, where's the butter? Why is it called butter chicken curry if there's no butter in it?
With this, of course, you're going to have to add butter in at the end. and lots of butter, which also in all our cooking in hotels, you know, it's something us chefs like, and it adds a lot of flavor, and just gives it that round taste. With most of our dishes and the richness.
And then cashew nuts at the end as well. How important is that to the overall flavor of the dish?
Yeah, the cashew nuts bring in a bit of nuttiness. And also if you blend your sauce, it will help thicken your sauce.
Okay.
And it also, it just gives an extra taste to the dish. I like using cashew nuts and a lot of it. And then blending the sauce also to just give it a creamier taste.
I can't emphasize enough how happy I am to hear you advocating for the use of the ready-made spice mix or paste, because I'm thinking back to my own first recipe book, which is kind of which I compiled from school cookbooks and my grandmother and my mom. A lot of the recipes are called cheats lasagna or cheats chicken curry or cheats something, and that just implies that you took a few shortcuts along the way. But as you say, who has the time not to these days? And I think it's I need to go through and scratch out the word cheat entirely, because I don't think it's cheating at all. I just think it's taking advantage of other people's expertise, if you ask me. Our first caller with a question for you is on the line. Norm, I'm going to ask you to just pop your headphones on so that you can hear B, who's given us a call from the CBD. Good afternoon. B, can you hear me?
Hi.
Yes, you're on the air. Good afternoon. Chef Norman's listening for your question.
Hi.
Hi, Chef Norman. My name is Bea. I just want you to know, what is your favorite meal that you cook for your family?
Well, I've got two boys, so of course my favorite meal would be spaghetti bolognese for them. And it's a quick, easy meal that we do for them, and it's something they like slurping down.
Oh, good. Do they eat like a healthy dessert as well?
Dessert? Sometimes we'd cut up some fruit and some finger sticks afterwards of some fruit and veg, yeah. But they do enjoy the fruit and veg.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Thank you, Chef Norman.
Thanks for your call. If anybody else has a question for the chef, 021-446-0567 is the number to dial. So spaghy bowl for the boys and some cut up fruit as pudding. That's a very healthy alternative. What about your menu at the Radisson Blu in the Waterfront? Does it have a particular theme? I'm trying to remember. It's been quite a while since I dined there. Does it have a particular theme to the restaurants and the dining there, or how would you describe it?
Pippa, with a background of being from Durban, I've got a lot of spice in a lot of my recipes. And then it's a bit international, a bit of everything. And then finishing off with bold dessert flavors and quite trendy dessert flavors, things like smoking cheesecakes, gin and tonic cheesecakes. So, yeah, a bit of a mix.
Gin and tonic cheesecake. I think my brain just stopped working. Thanks for that picture. Let's get back to the winter dishes. I mean, obviously, we were talking winter warmers. We are talking the curries, the stews, the nice, long, slow-cooked, often calling on very simple ingredients that, by virtue of giving them time to meld well, are turned into something much bigger than themselves. I often find it's the one time of year where you tend to sort of go back to your old traditional favorites and not perhaps be as experimental as you would be at other times of the year. Is that something you see in the restaurant trade as well?
Yeah, I think in the restaurant trend and around, it's people sticking to what they know and what's been around in the family for decades that people stick to, because people's afraid to go out there and try new things, I think, and it's very daunting to try a new recipe or a new cut of meat that you don't know. But at the moment, I think the trend in Cape Town, we've seen a lot of short rib being used quite often in all the restaurants and just being cooked in different ways.
I'm so happy that that's happened, because I've got one or two recipes that are my grandmother, and I think one of them is in fact my great grandmother's recipe that called for short rib. But there were many, many years where I never saw it in the shops, and all of a sudden it's everywhere. So I'm very thankful. But then we have seen the last couple of years very much more of an emphasis on eating all of the animal. Nose to tail eating is the buzzword. It's about using the cuts that used to be discarded, using the cheap cuts that can be turned into something magical if you cook them correctly.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And especially those cuts on the bone that brings out the flavor of the meat, especially this time in winter, letting it cook for long periods, slow heat, and then enjoying a glass of wine while that's happening.
Sounds like heaven to me. It sounds like it's appealing to a couple of our listeners too, because they're phoning through with questions for you. We have Aziza on the line from Grassy Park, and I think she's concerned with winter breakfasts. Aziza, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Papa. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. It's lovely to hear from you again. How are you?
Yeah, I missed you when you weren't in.
Thank you, Aziza. I would say that I missed you all, but I was having a lovely holiday, but it is good to be back.
I bet you do when you need it as well.
Indeed. You wanted to ask about croissants.
Yes, please. I want to know, my croissant just doesn't come right at all. Maybe I'm using the wrong recipe, but somebody told me to use just a normal bread recipe, then a roll and fold and put butter in, and like you do for a pastry. Am I on the right track or...
For a croissant, Chef Norman, do you need to adjust the dough more than that? So Aziza was told to use a normal bread recipe and just fold in and roll lots of butter. Is that good advice?
No, you need something more like a Danish recipe. And the trick with the pastry is to make sure that you're layering it with a lot of butter. And when you're folding it, you need to make sure it rests in between. And you need to repeat this process probably about 3 to 4 times and then let it rest. And then roll it out once you've done this process. Mm. So it's a lengthy process, and you've got to be patient making sure that your layers are correct.
Okay, so the bread recipe is probably not the best advice as a starting point, and Aziza would be better off looking for a
nice
specific
puff pastry, layered recipe, yes.
Okay, Aziza, I hope that holds the answer to getting them just right. It's not something I've ever managed to make successfully myself either, if it makes you feel any better. But thank you so much for your call. Speaking of butter chicken, Damon is on the line from Kenilworth wanting to take us back to your butter chicken curry. Damon, good afternoon.
Hi, Papa. How are you doing?
I'm well, and yourself?
Yeah, good, thanks. Hi, Chef. Yeah, just a quick comment on the using the double thick yogurt. Mm. My fiance and I cook the nice and spicy spice packet of butter chicken probably once a week now in winter. And about a year ago, so we actually cut out the cream completely and just use the yogurt now, and it's a much healthier option. And then we just chuck a bit of sugar in there as well, about a teaspoon of sugar, and it's great. Those nice and spicy packs are excellent.
Yes.
Okay, so you leave out the cream entirely and find that the yogurt
entirely
alone is enough.
Yep, it's absolutely more than enough, yeah, and you don't lose too much of the taste. Doesn't work with everything, but it can be a useful substitute for cream. It doesn't work in Thai curries, but it definitely works. It definitely works for butter chicken.
Damon, thanks very much for the tip there. I'm smiling at the mention of the nice and spicy curry paste, because I had a bit of an oops in the kitchen last week using those. And I was actually going to ask you about this. I'm glad Damon reminded me. I was making a Thai red curry on Thursday night. And the previous time I'd used, I think it was a Woolies spice paste, and I'd found it very bland. So I decided this time I was going to double up on the spice paste. Note to self and everybody else that the nice and spicy spice paste is about 3 times spicier than the Woolies one. So when I put in 2 packets, needless to say, I had to serve the curry with a box of tissues for every guest at the table. I nearly killed my poor children. What could I have done? Is there anything that you can do if you make that mistake? If you've made your curry too hot, too spicy, is there anything you can do to tone it down a little bit after the fact?
Yeah, Pippa, there's a couple of things you can do. One of them is, or you can split the sauce into 2, mm-hmm. and add more tomato puree. And then stuff that also helps is a lot of dairy products like yogurt, cream will tone down the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also add some neutral products, things like potatoes, lentils, to stretch that sauce, but won't alter the flavor. And then at the end, you can just season it again with a bit of salt.
Apologies again if any of my children are listening in the car on the way home from school. It really nearly blew their socks off. Okay, thanks for the advice there. So go with some dairy to reduce the heat, or bulking it up with something like lentils or potatoes to try and absorb some of it. Ursula in Plumstead wants to take us back to talking about finding some of the more unusual cuts of meat, I believe. Ursula, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Pippa. Hi, Chef Norman.
Hi.
I just want to know, I love watching cookery programs and things like that on TV, and mm-hmm. beef or pork cheeks, where would one get them? I went to Pick and Pay the other day, and they said I needed to buy the whole pork head or the beef head. They don't sell the cheeks separately. Do you have any idea?
I'll try and find your local butcher and have a chat to them, and mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll point you in the right direction. If they don't stock it, I'm sure they'll get it in for you.
So you order it from the local butcher rather than pick and pay. Okay.
Yes.
Great stuff. Thanks, Norman.
That's
thanks
a pleasure. That.
Thanks for calling in, Ursula. And yeah, I'm reminded again, we had that wonderful live studio audience with Andy Fenner and the Meat Manifesto a couple of months ago, and he was talking about the same thing, about the importance of establishing a relationship with a good butcher and how much value you will get in terms of the quality and the range of produce that you can source from them as opposed to what you would buy in the supermarket. It really just reminds me of that. Ursula, thanks for your call. A question from Wayne on our email saying, I love a nice, long, slow-cooked stew, but the one thing I can never get right is the potatoes. They're either always underdone or falling to pieces. What is the perfect timing?
The perfect timing is, I think, put it in right at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're making a stew or whatever, try not to stir the potatoes to break them up. So I put them in about 25 minutes to go. And leave them at the top and try not to stir it around a lot so it breaks up the starch in the potatoes.
Okay. Hope that helps you, Wade. And I guess if it was sweet potatoes, it would be slightly less, yes?
Yes. Okay. You're probably looking about 10 minutes.
All right. Some advice for Matthew, who has tried making dal a few times but says it is always so bland. What am I doing wrong?
Well, it's the same as a curry. You need to start with a good spice in the beginning. Make sure you're putting your curry spice and your aromats like your cumin, your ground coriander, fresh ginger, fresh garlic, and then at the end, a nice handful of fresh coriander. And just make sure you season it at the end with a bit of salt. But your spices in the beginning is most important there.
So it's that initial building block you've got to get right. That can't be fixed at the end. Matthew, I hope that helps you. That, just like that, we are out of time. And I want to firstly say thank you to Chef Norman for being here. But secondly, tell you that his recipe for the butter chicken curry and for a wonderful pumpkin and celeriac soup will be shared on the Cape Talk website and Facebook page after the show. Also, just want to give you a heads up that if your mouth is watering listening to him talk about winter food, there's a Saturday supper club.
Yes,
at the Radisson Blue. Just tell us very quickly, where should we go for that?
So Saturday Supper Club, last Saturday of every month, and we pair it with a good wine farm and comfort food, nice soup, stew, and a lovely tasting dessert that we finish that off. And then if you want to get in contact with us, you can contact Stacey Lee Roberts at the Radisson Blue Hotel Waterfront, and the contact details there is 021-441-3000.
441-3000, and I'll ask my producer to tweet that link as well. Lovely to have you with us. Thanks so much for making our tummies rumble collectively at the thought of those wonderful slow-cooked meals. Great to meet you.
Thank you very much, Pippa.
Chef Norman Heath from the Radisson Blue Hotel in the V&A Waterfront.